Hi there. Welcome to this new episode of Just the Discs. My name is Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. And this week I've got a quartet of movies from the 80s, my 80s foursome. And I'm starting out with one from Shout Factory Select, and it's called Dudes, and it's from 1987.
They were searching for a dream.
But what do you want?
Want to be a cowboy.
In the land of the free.
I'm born to be a cowboy.
California. Let's move to California.
This country, man, it's like a roadrunner cartoon.
But their vision died on the road to glory.
Of all the places to camp in this whole state, you pick our favorite rendezvous.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we're not looking for your trouble, really.
We are. You are it.
Dudes.
Maybe this wouldn't have happened if you'd look like normal folks.
What are you gonna do, take on the whole gang?
If I have to.
Now, they're gonna show this land.
You have never cared about anything in your entire life.
Freeze!
I'm starting now.
Just what they're made of.
We find them.
Show me your stuff, city boy.
John Cryer, Daniel Roebuck, Catherine Mary Stewart. Dudes. They're finding out what the Wild West was all about.
No, don't come back now, you hear?
So it says, urban angst meets the Wild West when three New York City punks, John Cryer of Pretty in Pink, Daniel Roebuck of River's Edge, and Flea of Suburbia and the Red Hot Chili Peppers, on a road trip to California, cross paths with a vicious gang and their psycho leader, Lee Ving, Streets of Fire, and from the band Fear. He was also in Clue. So they cross paths with a vicious gang, aided by a pistol-packing knockout, Catherine Mary Stewart, Night of the Comet, and a daredevil Elvis Presley impersonator. They relentlessly pursue the gang to a final epic showdown. Directed by critically acclaimed filmmaker Penelope Spheeris, The Decline of Western Civilization, Suburbia, Wayne's World, Dudes blasts a killer soundtrack featuring the Vandals, Little Kings, Keel, Jane's Addiction, and Steve Vai. So this is a really interesting movie in that I don't think, especially after watching the special features, which are pretty great, that this movie ever actually got a release in 1987 when it supposedly came out. I think it was shelved. And so the people that have seen it via a VHS tape. And that's it. There's only ever been a VHS, no official DVD that I can find, nothing like that. So it's definitely an under-the-radar sort of cult item for many reasons. The subject matter slash plot, you know, the weirdness of the movie, and the fact that it's never really been openly available. Yeah, all these things contribute to it being sort of a unique find. And there aren't too many punk westerns, which I kind of like, you know. Everybody knows John Cryer from Pretty in Pink, but very few people have seen him in this role, and he is one of the reasons that the movie works for me.
Look, Milo, we are talking about real life here, okay? Real life is not California. Real life is a shit sandwich, and every day you gotta take another bite.
But what if it isn't a shit sandwich? I mean, what if California's really a paradise and we're missing out on it?
Because he is, I mean, it's a revenge movie, you know? I won't go into the details of what revenge is being sought, but let's just say that John Cryer is part of the reason that the revenge is happening. He wants revenge, and that's not the kind of character that you're probably used to seeing him play, you know, like this macho sort of, I gotta get the guys that did this to me kind of thing. And so he brings some humor to that, you know, machismo, and that just really makes a big difference, I guess. One of the other potential casting things that comes up in the special features as well is that they thought about Keanu Reeves for the John Cryer role, and I think that would have been a very different movie. Interestingly, Daniel Roebuck, who is, you know, one of the main stars in the movie, also did River's Edge, which came out in 1987 as well, and Keanu's in that too, so that would have been a weird Keanu Roebuck pair of films. As it is, I think River's Edge, which is one of my favorite movies, is an interesting pairing with this because of the Roebuck connection and because of the sort of cult movie type thing. I mean, they're totally different films, but both have heavier stuff in them. Anyway, bottom line, I love this movie. I am so excited that it's getting this wonderful Blu-ray.
I'm so sick of doing this. I'm sick of waiting for the world to end.
Me too. Why don't we do something else for a change?
Yeah, like what?
I don't know. I bet we can figure something out if we put our heads together.
My head just got stepped on. I can't think of nothing.
It was shot by Robert Richardson. That's a big deal. So it looks really good. And yeah, the soundtrack I mentioned also has Megadeth. And I think the soundtrack probably is part of the reason it didn't get a release for a while. But I know that it wasn't necessarily part of the reason it didn't get released. I think it was the original lack of release had something to do with the studio just not knowing how to market it, because it is just an odd film. But I love odd films. So the special features on this collector's edition from Shout Factory Select include interviews, and these are all cool because Penelope Spheeris herself interviews the major cast of the films in separate sections. So you've got John Cryer interviewed by her, and that's 32 minutes. Daniel Roebuck interviewed by her, that's 25 minutes. Flea interviewed by her, and that's 26 minutes. And Catherine Mary Stewart has her own interview. She's not being interviewed by Penelope Spheeris, but it's 13 minutes. That's good, too. And then the writer, Randall Johnson, and Miguel Tejada Flores, the producer, are interviewed for 14 minutes. And then there's a vintage making of featurette, The Making of Dudes, for 7 minutes.
Written by J. Randall Johnson, who sought to give his film an epic quality, Dudes is directed by Penelope Spheeris, who through such films as The Decline of Western Civilization, Suburbia, and The Boys Next Door, has become the colorful film voice of today's beat generation.
I realized that Randy Johnson, the scriptwriter, knew a lot about what he was talking about. The dialogue was very realistic and true to contemporary kids' thinking. And I know a lot about that because of the other films that I've done, and that's why I responded to the script. It was just very realistic.
I had a heck of a time coming up with a title for the thing, and I wanted something very epic, and The Searchers, or The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Those titles were already taken, so I was not sure, and I had come close to two-thirds or three-quarters of finishing the script before I thought of Dudes, and I liked Dudes because it was the original connotation of that term of Easterners coming out west and who had no idea how to ride a horse, how to shoot a gun.
It's too bad they don't make very many westerns anymore, because it's a lot of fun. I learned how to horseback ride, and I got to do chase scenes and shoot at people and get shot at and get shot, and in movies you always think, when he got shot, he didn't even wince, and it's not, it should be easier to do, but it takes a long time to set that stuff up, and when those things like blow off, they hurt, so you're not automatically thinking about your performance. You're like, wow, that really hurt, I really got shot. And and I only had to get shot once. I mean, I felt really sorry for the people who got shot a few times.
It is an adventure, and I also think a fantasy adventure, and one that just covers the gamut of three people's lives and how 3 days in their lives are completely changed by what they experience.
It's also a comedy, and there's a lot of things to laugh at in it, and we really tried to make the people relate with the characters.
Coming to the aid of outsiders Grant and Biscuit is Catherine Mary Stewart, who portrays Jesse, the tow truck driver.
Well, you boys are having quite a day.
And gunslinger.
She stabilizes them, basically. They're sort of flying off on all different tangents. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to go about what they want to accomplish. And she really helps them zero in on what they want to do and how they're going to go about doing it. She gives them the vehicle to track these guys down in, and the weapons and everything.
Catherine Mary Stewart is great because she's like a chameleon. She has so many different looks. Every film that I've seen her in, she has different looks. And now we have her, she's got red hair and she's got those beautiful blue eyes. And that really soft, sensuous look that she has, the editors would always want to like work on her scenes so they could sit there and look at her all day. You know, she's really a sweetheart.
One thing that was neat for me in this film was Penelope wanted me to be a redhead, and my hair against the Arizona land, I mean, I blended right in. It was fantastic.
And these are good interviews. I especially love the ones where Penelope Spheeris is talking to her cast. You know, just you feel like she's catching up with them, you know, after years, and getting her recollections as well as theirs about this movie and what the actors feel about it now. You know, it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. So I really dug this Blu-ray. Highly recommended. Next up is one called Rolling Vengeance from 1987.
It began as a game.
Look out! They're not drunk. They're intoxicated with joy from the great times they have in this fine establishment.
Here he comes.
I'll get him.
For them, it's still only a game. For Joey Rosso, the vengeance is real. Rolling Vengeance, because the police aren't fast enough.
Gonna want to know about this.
The laws aren't tough enough. And one man alone just isn't enough.
There's a vigilante trucker out there.
Maybe the guy figured that somebody had to do something.
Fighting back with the only weapon he has. Rolling Vengeance, the ultimate monster truck.
It says, when a clan of drunken goons get off scot-free after something, I'm not going to read this part, the trucker, Don Michael Paul, takes matters into his own hands by building the ultimate monster truck to even the score. Spitting flames, armed with a giant drill, his awesome rig is unstoppable. The bottom line is that it's a revenge movie, and his implement of revenge is this monster truck. That's really all you need to know. The other things that are neat about it are that Ned Beatty is the bad guy, and I love Ned Beatty. He's a great villain when he wants to be. I'm thinking of Toy Story 3 and stuff like that, you know, but he's been a bad guy in other stuff. Maybe the only time I've ever seen him in a leather jacket is in this movie, because he's sort of the patriarch of this redneck family that runs this... very interesting combination business of a bar, like Roadhouse strip club slash used car dealership. You know, that's the two things that go together in the parking lot are used cars, and it's this total sleazy dive bar that he and his family run. And so he's a scumbag, and his kids are often getting drunk and causing havoc, and they do, and the stakes are set pretty high relatively early in the movie. And I, as much as I find that sort of thing kind of crazy and unbelievable, I mean, it's not unbelievable, but it's just kind of, it feels manipulative in a way, I am still okay with it, because the movie really delivers on the revenge eventually, so that makes it worthwhile to me. It's just it's a good, unique revenge movie with the monster truck causing lots of monster truck carnage, and so good stuff. And it includes an interview with star Lawrence Dane and an audio commentary with Paul Korup of Canucksploitation.com and film historian Jason Pachonski, which is good. Good track. I like Paul a lot. Paul has done some lists for Rupert Pupkin Speaks over the years, and he's one of my favorite cinephiles. Really good guy. And this one also, like Dudes, was not really available. May have gotten some slightly unofficial DVD, but nothing really remotely like this. Nothing widescreen. This is a Kino Lorber Studio Classics Blu-ray. Definitely worth your time. Pick it up. Moving on to the next one. This is also from Kino Lorber Studio Classics, and it's The Flamingo Kid from 1984.
I remember the day me and the guys first took Jeffrey to the Club Flamingo.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Fairly, go.
He fell into a terrific job.
Go.
Welcome to the Old Flamingo, Jeffrey. Go.
Jeffrey, somebody threw up in the Cabana Sea bathroom. Clean it up.
He fell for this dynamite girl.
Hi. I'd like to invite you to our house for dinner.
What?
Come to think of it.
Can I put your tip in your pocket?
He fell in love with a whole new way of life.
You missed my pocket again, Mrs. Unger.
Now, Jeffrey had never been more than three blocks from home.
Steve, how many families live here?
So he had a lot to learn.
Jeffrey.
You're personable, you're bright, you're sharp. You know what I see so far spelled?
What he sees in me spells salesman.
Who is this person?
Who is this person?
No, Brody, the king.
No, he knows king.
Danny, come here. Jeffrey's playing in the big game.
What's the matter, Phil? You afraid of the kid?
The guy is a genius. He's psychotic. Psychic.
You want something to drink, Jeffrey?
Oh, no, thank you, Mr. Brody.
Phil, Jeffrey. Phil.
Gin, Phil.
I taught him everything he knows.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. Jeffrey Willis walked in, a bright-eyed kid from Brooklyn.
Get out of here. Leave my friends alone, huh?
Bring him away!
And he became...
Bring away!
A legend. From then on, he was...
Bring away!
The Flamingo Kid.
I'm gonna make it to the top.
Woo!
Yeah! Bring away!
It says, it's going to be a summer to remember. Jeffrey Willis is out to set the world on fire, starting with a well-to-do Long Island beach club. Matt Dillon leads an all-star cast including Richard Crenna, Hector Elizondo, Jessica Walter, and Janet Jones in this poignant, fast-moving, and totally engrossing story that is funny, sensitive, and beautifully written. Everything was settled for 18-year-old Jeffrey, Matt Dillon, the plumber's son from Brooklyn, one last summer of carefree fun before college. But when he gets a job as a cabana boy at the El Flamingo Beach Club, with its shapely co-eds, gin-playing card sharps, and wealthy snobs, Jeffrey is lured into a world distinctly different from his working-class roots, a world that could ultimately draw him away from his education, his background, and his family. Wonderfully directed by Hollywood veteran Gary Marshall, with a screenplay by Gary Marshall and Neil Marshall. So, this one, something of a lesser talked about 80s movie now. I'm a big fan of Matt Dillon's 80s output. I mean, I like him in general, you know, but he did a ton of great stuff in the late 70s and early 80s, from Over the Edge to My Bodyguard to Little Darlings to this and beyond. But I'd forgotten, this is a neat little movie, you know. It starts in Brooklyn in 1963, and it's got a great period soundtrack, kind of before that was a bigger thing. I mean, obviously American Graffiti did it back in the early 70s, but more 80s movies would do it after this one, I think, than before. And I learned it was one of the first PG-13 movies, I guess technically the first that got its rating of PG-13, like it was submitted before Red Dawn. But Red Dawn came out first, if that makes sense. So in the public eye, Red Dawn is the first released PG-13 movie, but this was the first one to get the actual rating, I guess. The cast also includes Fisher Stevens and Bronson Pinchot, and both are great. It's a nice little period movie, you know, and Matt Dillon is just a really charismatic actor and really carries things well, I think.
Coming up next at the movies, how a teenage chiropractor learns a lot about life from a wealthy old card shop.
The best training for life is life. I'm thinking about going into sales. The Cabana Boy is going into sales.
From The Flamingo Kid is one of the pleasant surprises of this holiday movie season, a season filled with a lot of disappointment. It's a sweet little coming-of-age comedy about a teenage boy from a working-class Brooklyn neighborhood who has his head turned when he begins working as a parking attendant at a ritzy but gauche Long Island country club. Matt Dillon plays the boy, and he's way out of his league when he goes to visit the home of the wealthy man Richard Crenna, who has taken a liking to him. The key to this film is its knowing sense of 60s detail and also a terrific star performance by Richard Crenna as Mr. Brody, who, of course, Richard Crenna has been known mostly as a TV actor. This will change that, I hope. He is properly vulgar, this Mr. Brody, and very funny in his role as the shrewdest card player at the country club. And he teaches Matt Dillon almost every one of his tricks. Almost every one. The special accomplishment of The Flamingo Kid, in addition to its humor, is that it's not just another teenage sex comedy. It has some of those elements, but beyond that, this film develops both its teenage and adult characters into complete characters, and together they form a complete world. This is a very funny movie. I liked it a whole lot, too. I really did, and I liked Matt Dillon in it. Mm-hmm. You know, the funny thing about Matt Dillon's career is that even though in his very first picture, which we saw years ago, Over the Edge, yeah, he was very earnest and good, straight young actor, nevertheless, in the years in between, he turned into this sort of teenage idol, you know, when teenage girls read magazine articles about Jimmy Dean, who his latest girlfriend is or whether he got a new car. Or something. Matt Dillon is an actor, and in this movie, it is such a subtle,
and such a sweet performance that it's likely to be overlooked by people who say, oh, it's just Matt Dillon. It's real good acting.
No, I think the two of them really have an interesting relationship. But again, I credit the filmmaker, Gary Marshall, actually, who creates a whole world. Very good.
It's a good film.
So definitely worth your time. It has a commentary track from actor-filmmaker Pat Healy and his film curator brother, Jim Healy. It's sort of a relaxed commentary, but interesting. They have obviously a great rapport. They're brothers. They have seen a ton of movies together, and they're great at talking about them. They did a commentary track for Kino with Taking of Pelham 123, which is great. And this track is no exception. It's got lots of interesting tidbits and information. I think they have another track on Young Doctors in Love, another Gary Marshall movie that I'm very much looking forward to checking out after this one. I hope they do more stuff for them. They're just a good duo with lots of personal asides as well as, you know, things about actors and scripts and writers, and it's great. I enjoy it very much. So this one is also recommended. Lastly, I have Space Camp from 1986.
Stand by for main engine test.
She's all yours.
4, 3, 2,
go for main engine test. We have main engine test.
We have overheat on Booster B.
What does that mean?
We can't stop it. Booster B is near ignition. It's gonna light.
Get that thing operational.
Go for launch now.
We're not authorized.
Light it or they're gonna die.
What's happening?
Do it now.
An impossible mistake launched them into space. The adventure of their lives will be getting back home. Space Camp.
And it says, the stars belong to a new generation. Zero gravity meets zero fear in this cosmic comedy adventure about a summer camp where regular kids check in and real astronauts check out. Catherine, Leah Thompson, Tish, Kelly Preston, Max, Joaquin, Leaf Phoenix, Rudy, Larry B. Scott, and Kevin, Tate Donovan, are a group of bright but incorrigible high school students spending their summer at the NASA space camp. But when a frightening miscommunication occurs during a space shuttle training mission, the teens and their astronaut instructor, Kate Capshaw, are accidentally launched into orbit. Can this young team of unlikely heroes work together to survive the outer space adventure of a lifetime? Harry Weiner, House Arrest director, directed this wild and wonderful thrill ride packed with special effects, spectacular moments, and a gripping climax that's out of this world. Tom Skerritt and Terry O'Quinn co-star in this fast-paced, fun-filled adventure for the whole family that was shot on location at the actual U.S. space camp in Huntsville, Alabama. So this is a, you know, nostalgia favorite, one of those kind of zany concepts that, you know, that feel more at home in the 80s than now. I don't know that we would try to pull this plot off in the present day, but it works, and it's cheesy, kind of fun. The cast is really the big thing with this one. I read off all those folks, and you know, from Leah Thompson and Kate Capshaw and Kelly Preston and Larry B. Scott, who I love, who was in, you know, Iron Eagle and obviously Revenge of the Nerds. He was in a bunch of movies in the 80s. I like him a lot. And Tate Donovan, Leaf/Joaquin Phoenix, as a very young kid. It's really cool, you know, to see this cast together. I guess I've always been a Kate Capshaw fan, too, since Temple of Doom. So, yeah, but a little bit of a ludicrous plot. There's a kind of a silly robot character in the movie that helps perpetuate the plot, helps move things forward so that they end up in space. And that character is a little goofy. But overall, it's, you know, it's a fun little, you know, space adventure, if you will. But apparently a movie that touched a lot of people because of the female characters that are all the Leah Thompson and the Kate Capshaw and the Kelly Preston characters are all very intelligent characters, and so they are good, I guess, role models coming out of this movie, and characters that inspired real life women to go into science and space related fields. So that's pretty neat, and I can't say that isn't the pretty cool thing. This is one I've shown to my daughter, and she's a fan of it. I actually wanted to try and get her on the show to talk about it, but it didn't work out. But it's definitely one that I think will stay with us, because my daughter's really into science right now, too. So I think it'll become more of a favorite as the years go on for her. But definitely a good family movie. The special features include an interview with Leah Thompson, 11 minutes. And this is a good interview. She, you know, she has a lot of good, fun recollections of the movie. the process of it, like how they had to fake zero gravity and stuff like that. It sounds like it was a tough shoot in a lot of ways. But she has a lot of nice things to say about the actors she worked with and stuff like that. You know, genuinely seems to remember the movie fondly. And then there's an interview with director Harry Weiner that's 18 minutes. He talks about the production, how they did some of the effects, working with the actors, John Williams' music, which is something I totally forgot to mention, and which is great. John Williams does the score to the movie, and his theme is really wonderful. The other thing that Weiner talks about here is the impact that the Challenger shuttle disaster had on the film, which was probably a significant one. That was a horrible tragedy and happened to come about around the time this movie was released. So I think it definitely cast a dark shadow over NASA and, you know, just this movie in general. Just, I think, really hurt things. So it's nice this movie's finally getting a Blu-ray release so people can check it out again and hopefully be inspired by it, even despite its cheesiness. I'm a fan. So that is it for this week with my 80s grouping. I'll probably have some more 80s movies in the next month or so. There's a lot of cool stuff that I am a fan of hitting Blu-ray these days from that decade, and I am always happy to talk about that type of thing. So anyway, enjoy and have a lovely and Blu-ray-filled week, and I will talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.